Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chedi and Induo Rampol Chedi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bible Issues. My name is Dr. Denver Chedi. The book of 1 John chapter 5 verse 13 says, "These things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Last time, we talked about Christians who are saved, who believe in Jesus Christ, but they don't have assurance of salvation. They're not sure. They're not 100% sure that they're going to heaven when they die. And the main reason why Christians have such doubts, they don't understand the full extent of Christ's atonement on Calvary. And we talked about that last week. But I want to talk today about a second group of people in the church. And I deliberately call them people in the church rather than Christians, because they are people in the church who are not Christians. They have no fruit associated with repentance, but they think that they are going to heaven. If you ask them, "Do you know that you're going to heaven?" they will put up their hands. They are 100% sure they are going to heaven, but they are 0% saved. These people have what you call a false hope, a false assurance of salvation. And there are many reasons why you have such people in the church, and I think the main reason is that we have a compromised gospel that we preach, a watered-down gospel that sounds good to the world, that makes the preachers popular, that makes them sell books, but it's not a true gospel that the Bible teaches. Maybe you heard a very popular preacher on TV give an inspirational sermon about being all that you could be, about having your best life now and having all of your dreams come true through Jesus Christ. And then the preacher probably led you in the sinner's prayer and told you that if you prayed that prayer, you are now saved and you're going to heaven. There is not a single scripture in the Bible that says salvation comes through praying a prayer. Yet many preachers lead people in the sinner's prayer and lead them to believe that by virtue of repeating those words, you are saved. That is a lie from the pit of hell. And that watered down gospel, that false gospel, is the reason why there are a lot of people who will say to Jesus on that day, "Lord, Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we do that?" And he will say to them, "I never knew you." He wouldn't say, "I used to know you, but at some point along the way you strayed and I don't know you anymore." He said, "I never knew you." So there are people in the church who were never saved, but yet they are 100% certain that they're going to heaven. These people clearly have a false hope. And they didn't just get that false hope, somebody gave them that false hope. Probably you have a lot of money. You pay a lot of tithes in the church, and the preacher will tell you anything you want to hear just so that that money could keep flowing. Salvation is not based on saying a prayer. Salvation is based on true faith in God, by believing in Jesus, but not just believing in your head, because the Bible says even demons believe, and we know that they don't have eternal life. Salvation comes by having true faith in God, and according to the book of James, it teaches us that faith could be fake. There is genuine faith and there is false faith. The Bible says, "Faith without works is dead." James asks, "Can such a faith save you?" So there is a kind of faith, inverted commas, that doesn't save. But there is a kind of faith that does save. And there are a lot of people in the church today who have the kind of faith that doesn't save. 1 John chapter 2 verse 3 says, "Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments." 1 John 4:12 says, "No one has seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit." Like I said last time, The book of 1 John was written in such a way that those who are genuine Christians will read the book of 1 John and find assurance of their salvation. But those who are not genuine Christians will read the book of 1 John and they will have all of their hope taken away from them. That's how John wrote. Question: when you read the book of 1 John, do you feel energized? Do you feel happy? Do you feel joyful? Or do you get angry? Do you find yourself saying, no, the scripture can't mean that. That can't be what it says. If you find yourself reacting that way, chances are you are one of the fake Christians from whom John is trying to take away false hope. And that's what I'm trying to do today. I'm trying to take away false hope because it is better you hear the unpopular message now than to stand before God one day and to realize it's too late. In those verses that we just read, John gave two tests a Christian could use to know if they have come to know Christ or to know that they abide in him and he in them. One, you will keep his commands. And two, you will love the brethren. So those are two tests. Now, it doesn't mean you have to keep his commands in order to be saved. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not by works, lest any man should boast. However, genuine faith will result in good works. False faith results in no change whatsoever. So if you're one of those Christians who has experienced no change whatsoever, chances are you have false faith. If you have genuine faith, you will want to keep the commandments of God. You will find yourself loving one another. You will find yourself loving God and desiring to serve him and loving his people. Why? Because the Bible says that love of God, the agape love of God, which only God has, is shed abroad in our hearts. And that is how a Christian knows he is saved or she is saved, because they find themselves with a love for one another that they didn't have before. Agape love is a self-sacrificing love, a love that will seek the other person's interests above your own. You will find yourself wanting to obey his commandments. Now, we know that a Christian could sin. Even the book of 1 John says, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. So, a Christian, a genuinely saved Christian, will not have 100% obedience. You will not live 100% holy. You will fall. You will commit sin from time to time, but here is the difference. A genuine Christian will struggle with sin. A fake Christian will sin with no remorse whatsoever, with no conviction whatsoever. A genuine Christian will see his own shortcomings and hate his sin. A false Christian will examine himself and say, I am good. I am okay. Thank God I'm not like them. Thank God I'm not like the publican over there. The publican who has genuine faith will beat his chest and say, oh, wretched man that I am, woe unto me. Lord, have mercy on me. That's the difference. A true Christian will have a desire to serve God, a desire to obey him, a desire to love one another. It will not be perfect, but it will be there. Here's a story that illustrates how assurance of salvation works. Let's suppose a rich businessman shows up into town one day and they make a promise. They say, we are going to identify several people from the village and we are going to give you $2,000. I'm going to deposit $1,000 in your bank account now, and at the end of the year, I'll deposit another $1,000. So the person made a promise. How do you know if you are a recipient of that promise? Well, the easiest way is to go and check your bank account to see if there's an extra $1,000 there. If you don't see that $1,000, then you know you were not one of the recipients. You did not receive the gift. However, if you look at your bank account and you see that $1,000, then you know that you were one of the recipients. You're seeing the evidence of it. The $1,000 was given through a promise. It is a free gift. You didn't do anything to earn it or deserve it. But once you see the evidence of it, now you could have assurance that you are a recipient of the promise. And now you could have assurance that at the end of the year, you have another $1,000 coming to you. That is how assurance of salvation works. God promised to save everybody who believes in him. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Then how do you know if you genuinely believed in God and you genuinely have the gift of eternal life? You could assume it. You could hope. You could cross your fingers. Or you could examine your life and see, do I hate sin? Do I want to serve God? Do I find myself with a love for the brethren that I never had before? And if you don't see that evidence that you are not one of the recipients, you're probably holding on to a false hope. But if you see that evidence, then you could be rest assured that your faith was genuine and that Christ has indeed saved you. And then, at the end of time, he will finish the work that he started. He will raise you up on that last day. Right now, he gave you a down payment, but at the end of time, he will give you the full installment of his promise. That is how assurance of salvation works. Assurance is based on the evidence of a changed life. Let me introduce you very quickly to three theological words. They are justification, regeneration, and sanctification. These are three things that happen when you get genuinely saved. Justification is the process whereby God takes away your sin and imputes to you the righteousness of Christ. That's not something you're going to see any evidence of because it's a legal declaration that God makes on your behalf. The other one is called sanctification. That is the process whereby God cleanses you gradually over time. But the problem with sanctification is that it takes a long time. It takes your entire life. And you will not see perfection until you actually reach to heaven. So with sanctification, you will see a lot of ups and downs. You know, you will see good days and bad days. It's hard to judge your salvation based on your level of sanctification. However, there is a third one called regeneration. Jesus said, unless you are born again or regenerated, you cannot by any means enter the kingdom of heaven. Regeneration is a process whereby God takes a wretched sinner and makes him into a new creation, where all things are passed away and all things are become new. It is a dramatic change where you have been transformed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You used to live in selfishness, but now you live in selflessness. You used to seek after your own interests, now you're walking in love for one another. You lived for yourself in the past, but now you have a desire to live for God. That is an instantaneous change that will happen to anyone who is genuinely saved. And if you could look back on your life and find a time when you were genuinely changed, when you were transformed, you were not made perfect right away, but you knew that there was a change. That is the evidence that your salvation is real. And that your faith was genuine, and that you are indeed a child of God. That is how you know that you are in Him. If what I said does not describe you, and every Christian needs to examine themselves this way. If what I said doesn't describe you, I'm not trying to condemn you, but to let you know you need to seek God. You need to cry out to God. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon Him will be saved. I'm not going to lead you in a prayer. You need to go to God for yourself. Call upon Him. Cry out to Him. Ask Him to change you. Ask Him to take away your sin, to give you a hatred for sin. Ask Him to give you godly sorrow that leads to genuine repentance. And ask Him to transform you from darkness into light. There's no standard prayer to repeat. You have to cry out to God, seek Him, ask, call out to Him. And the Bible assures you that if you genuinely call on Him, He will save you. God bless you. We'll see you next time.
Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chedi and Induo Rampol Chedi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.